Welcome to Ask Shell. If you need an answer to that nagging home improvement question, you can ask Shell by calling the Rock Line at 306-783-5160 or toll free at 1-855-449-5160. Ask Shell is brought to you by Marks and participating Century 21 agents.
Hello again and welcome to another edition of Ask Shell Live. And we have got Shell on the phone with us right now, all the way from beautiful British Columbia. And so we've got to bring him on. How you doing, Shell? It's great to have you.
Absolutely top drawer, Scott. When I'm talking to the folks in beautiful Saskatchewan, I hope the sun is shining like it is here today, but we got Saskatchewan chill in the air. It's about -3 today.
Well, it's a lot colder than that here. Well, not a lot colder, but it is colder here. But, you know, that's one of the things that that I wanted to talk about today, or at least bring up, because I know a lot of people mentioned that with snow last time. People talking about the winter stuff. How do you prepare for winter? One of the questions that I wanted to talk about, and I'm not sure if this is a do-it-yourself, or I guess it kind of is, but I noticed myself with our driveway. We like to keep it nice and clean when we can, but sometimes you get ice buildup. You want to get rid of it with some different types of de-icer. I've been told that that just the plain salt can be hard on your concrete sometimes. Well, I decided to go to a brand name. I'm not going to say the brand, but it was a different type that's supposed to be, it says right on there, it's easier on your concrete. And it was one of those ones that it kind of it started to chip away. Like, you could see that it was just sitting there for not even that long, and it started to lift the top layer off the concrete. Yeah. It was kind of crazy. What happened, and is it just that my concrete is old, or is it this product? What should I be expecting in that?
No, I tell you, Scott, that is one of the major concerns, no matter where it is you live. In fact, you could even be in you might say the lower mainland in British Columbia, the Vancouver area, where they call us at sometimes that we got the banana belt. But don't believe it, because we do get frost, we do get ice, and we know that you folks do get ice. One of the big things that they do not mention on your bottle or on your bag that you buy the ice or de-icer is that they have to have these support of a sealant on the concrete.
Uh-huh.
Because raw concrete, if you're going to melt the snow and ice and allow that melt moisture, water, go into the concrete, then the first cold snap you get during the later hours of the day, during the night, then it's going to spall the concrete.
Mm.
It's they you know, those are items that are little tricks that you might add to even your own talk radio if you're talking to people. This, you know, if you're getting ready for Christmas, if you're getting ready for New Year's, then put this down as a resolution that you're going to seal the concrete in the spring. Because if you don't, you're going to have exactly what you have.
Yeah, well, and that's one of the things, again, I think part of the do-it-yourself is do a little more research. You know, you can buy some of this stuff off the shelf, and you think, oh, okay, well, I can buy it off the shelf, it's going to be fine. Well, yeah, it definitely isn't always that way.
Or you can always listen to Ask Shell.
Absolutely, and call in and see what's going on there. Once again, we do want to remind you that Shell Buzzy here on The Rock, first and third Friday of every month from 11 a.m. until noon, brought to you by Mark's Work Warehouse and the Century 21 Broadway Park Realty Agents, Deb Cook, Michelle Bailey, Deb Schmidt, Kathy Fair-Young, Trina Statistician, Tony Hoffman, Jonathan Buchert, and Terry Korchinski. But right now, if you want to call 306-783-5160, the number to call, toll-free 1-855-449-5160. Those are the numbers you can call to ask Shell something that you'd like to know about fixing something up around your house. And it was good to talk to Jack Dawes yesterday, having you on with him on the land. And it was good to hear. I know one of the things he had talked about was fixing up an older house. If you're a do-it-yourselfer, that's a great thing to be able to do, but obviously there is lots of work. Do you get a lot of people asking questions about that type of home?
Oh, absolutely. We have in all areas, you have the older section of the city or the town. And no matter if you're talking to Vancouver, Calgary, Saskatoon, Regina, Yorkton, no matter where you are, you're always going to have questions of similar content. Mm-hmm. And like, for example, when we were just talking about sealing the concrete, I was surprised, Scott, that you didn't say, with what?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah.
Tell me.
See, I got you. But, you know, it's very important because you just don't go into a store, a hardware store or building supply store and say, I want some sealant for the concrete. Mm. Because the first question they're going to ask, what kind?
Yeah.
And there's very few solvent-based products out there now because solvent has been really discarded as a product of liquid content that goes into anything, paints, and it's and certainly sealants. But there's all kinds of acrylic water-based products, which are very environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is you can't put it on when the temperatures are below 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay. Now, and the reason why I'm using the term Fahrenheit, because I know I am talking to a number of people that still understand the Fahrenheit scale more so than they do the Celsius scale. And I'm one of them. But the conversion factor sometimes gets you confused. Mm-hmm. So I always like to use the Fahrenheit scale. And the reason why it's easier to read on your thermostat, on your furnace, your thermometer outside, all these different items of that age. But anyway, 50 degrees Fahrenheit, you're not going to have that until come spring. You've got to have clean concrete. You do not, and please put big lines under this, do not apply in the sunshine. The best time to apply any sealer, acrylic sealer, to concrete, you do it in the morning hours after you've cleaned the concrete the day before.
Yeah.
And now the concrete is cool from the overnight.
Okay. Yeah.
And now it's ready to apply and you spray it on or you can puddle it on. A lot of people say, what do you mean by puddle? Well, you pour it in a puddle. And you pour it in a puddle and you roll it out until such as you use a lamb's wool roller, get it at your local store and give it a good roll out and it will dry. It will also go into the concrete the amount that's required. So there you have it. Not only the how to, but the what to, the where to, the why to, the when to, the who to. So there is more important to do it properly when you're going to do the job.
Absolutely. And if you had a question about that, 306-783-5160, toll free 1-855-449-5160. If you're not able to phone, if you want to email, you can email heydj@therock985.ca or just to email me, scott@therock985.ca. Now, I'm going to make a statement here about the sealant. You want to do that, obviously, in the non-winter months, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the early spring, as soon as you have those temperatures coming up in and around that area of 12 to 15 degrees Celsius. But I like to say, as I say, 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So once you've got that, and that's during the day. That's not during the night.
Yep.
That's during the day. So when the sun is shining during the day, you got that sort of temperature. That concrete is picking up at that heat energy from the radiant heat of the sun. And then you clean it in the evening before you head off to watch your nighttime news. And then overnight in the morning, get up early before the chickens start crowing.
Yep.
And you spray it on. It takes no time to put on. And you can walk on it in an hour.
Wow. That's awesome.
So away you go.
Well, we've got somebody on the phone with us right now. Hello, who is this?
Hi, this is Graham.
Graham, what's your question for Shell here today?
Well, Shell, I've got a bathroom vent fan that goes through my attic, and I've got water dripping down now that we're into those cold winter months, and I'm not sure what I can do about that.
Well, you can certainly do lots about it, Graham, and it's a very good question, because that type of question tells me that your temperature is certainly lower than what dew point is when it comes to the top of your vent. Now, does your exhaust vent vent through to the roof, or does it vent to the soffit?
Is that the roof?
Yeah, it goes through the roof, and then the exhaust goes right outside on my roof there.
Okay, fine. So you've got what's called a roof jack, and the roof jack is where your ducting from your exhaust vent in the bathroom ceiling runs to. Now, that particular duct, is it metal, or are you aware of what it is made of? Because if you have the old dryer vent type of accordion plastic, get rid of it.
Okay, because, I think it might be that.
Well, that's a lot of cases people use that because it's easy. And the unfortunate thing about any of the flexible ducting like you would find on the back of a dryer, it's easy to use. It's easy to run and install, but every one of those ribs is a deficiency in the movement of air through that duct. So you always want to use a metal duct. It can be galvanized, or it can be tin, or it can be aluminum. Once you've installed that directly to the roof jack, then the most important thing is to get that warm, moist air that you're exhausting to the outside as quickly as possible. And the roof jack has got like a gooseneck on it. Some people do call them a gooseneck, because the air goes up, then it turns at right angle, and it goes onto the roof. Now, that duct, once you have it installed, whatever metal you use, you want to duct seal the joints. Now, you can do that by using Red Green's duct tape, or you can use a vinyl duct tape, or you can use a brush-on type of duct seal. Once you've done that, now you wrap the duct, and some folks want to do it with bad insulation, which is fine. They find it very awkward. I like to insulate it with a rigid type of roll of foil insulation. It's like a bubble wrap, but it's got foil on both sides of it. Lots of brands out there. Just call it foil insulation with the bubble pack in it. And you'd simply cut it to the length that will go around the duct, and then you tape it. And you can tape that with duct tape, or you can tape it with an aluminum foil tape that comes with it. Once you've got it down to the top of your exhaust fan unit, you want to make sure, again, it's sealed around it. And I like to suggest to people to seal it there at that point with some of the aerosol foams that are out there, closed cell foam. And you foam that right in. That way there's no leakage. And you also foam around the hole in the plaster or the drywall where the exhaust fan is mounted. Then once you leave that for 24 hours, then you can put your insulation back over top of the exhaust fan. And now you got a sealed unit up into a insulated ducting with the foil. Or you can tie wrap around bat insulation. But again, bat insulation, you got to wrap it with plastic afterwards. That's why it's so awkward. If you use the foil material with the bubble liner, then that way you've got the insulation value, plus you've got the moisture barrier value. Now you go right up to the roof line, where that duct and the insulation now installed on it comes in contact with the roof jack. And you do exactly the same thing there. You make sure that that is sealed. You can foam it in. And you don't have to worry about any insulation there, because that's your roof sheeting. And that will now allow the warm, moist air to go straight up and get outside and vaporize. And you're not going to be conducting the areas and condensing the moisture in the air. And that now will run back. And it's not that nice when you get it down the back of your neck. that dripping water. So there you have it. Again, it's not unusual. In fact, I would say that it'd be more than 50% of the ducts today that are installed without insulation. Hmm. That's wrong. That's wrong. And certainly the other 50% very likely have the plastic accordion type of dryer vent ducting, which is totally wrong.
Thanks so much, Graham.
Thank you.
All right. Take care of you.
Wonderful. You're listening to Ask Shell on The Rock 98.5. It's going to be your chance to call in. Once again, Ask Shell is brought to you by Mark's Work Warehouse and Deb Cook, Michelle Bailey, Deb Schmidt, Kathy Fairyoung, Trina Stachician, Tony Hoffman, Jonathan Buchert, and Terry Korchinski from Century 21 Broadway Park Realty. We are going to be back in just a moment with more from Ask Shell right after this on The Rock 98.5.
You're listening to Ask Shell, brought to you by Marks and participating Century 21 agents. You can call Shell now at 306-783-5160 or toll free at 1-855-449-5160.
We're back here on the Ask Shell call-in live here on The Rock at 98.5. Again, 306-783-5160, toll-free 1-855-449-5160. Or you can email scott@therock985.ca, and we'll get that on the air for you, because I know that there's a lot of questions people have, especially now that we're changing. And it's funny because we talk about things changing. Obviously, in Saskatchewan, we get all sides of the spectrum when it comes to weather. So there's a lot more to have to prepare for. Things change on how you deal with your house, with your car, with your RV, with everything. The seasons just play havoc on our things.
You got that right, Scott. I tell you that no matter what happens in the area of temperature change, it's happening all over. And, you know, the whole interest in doing home improvement today, inside and or outside, your home is changing along with you. And I sincerely mean that changing, because the expansion and contraction in the older homes, with the temperature being either lower or higher. Look at the earthquake this recently in Alaska.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at that and you think, well, they're used to them up there. But how many people knew that they were used to having earthquakes there?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's earthquake zones. And it seems that we as very intelligent individuals tend to wave off any of those things that are of concern until such time as something happens.
Yep.
And then it's too late sometimes. And it's a situation that anyway that I can get on and talk about housing industry in a lot of areas, and the farming industry and the barns. You know, quite involved in building pole barns back about 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And at, back in Ontario. And, oh, gosh, it's, the experiences I've had with the farming communities has been absolutely wonderful. And the,
yeah.
Throughout the prairies, the Hutterite people, my goodness, I had lots of involved discussions with them during home shows.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I may, I want to bring something up, Scott.
Sure.
And I would like to ask a question of your audience.
Okay.
And your audience, we can give a prize. I was down cleaning up my museum, and a lot of museum items. My wife calls it junk, incidentally, but I call it my memorabilia, but I like to call it Shell's Museum.
Yep.
But in any event, I was cleaning it up, and I came across two of my books.
Oh, wow.
That I wrote, two of five books that I've written.
Yep.
And this happens to be volume number two. I had two copies of. So what I'm going to do for the wonderful people of Saskatchewan, especially listening to Yorkton 98.5, The Rock, I'm going to give that away today on your show.
Nice.
On, I guess, on my show, or but the Ask Shell show anyway. And the title of this particular book was The How to the What to the Where to the Why to the When to the Who to. And it's got a picture of myself with my old Chevy 52 Woody wagon on the front of it. It's got a whole lot of story about our family, for example, in it. It's got many, many things of consequence of items of dealing with your home.
Mm-hmm.
It says this is a collector item. This goes back. I was trying to see if I see a date on the inside of it here. But I would say that this very likely dates back to... somewhere in the area of the 81, 82.
Wow.
And anyway, one of the sponsors inside the book happens to be a dear gentleman that was born and raised in Saskatchewan and now lives in British Columbia. And he is the owner of a major, major company, Save-On Foods.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmy Pattison.
That's right.
But also, there's a lot of famous people come from, a lot of companies, famous companies that started in Saskatchewan. And this is the question I'm going to ask. And if you can be the winner, depending on how many people phone in, and give their name to you, Scott, and you make a little tag with their name on it, put it in a bucket, and we'll collect all those. And then you pull a ticket and tell me who is the winner of the book. But in any event, I want to know, here's the question. What is Wolseley, Saskatchewan noted for?
Wolseley.
What is Wolseley, Saskatchewan noted for?
Aside from being one of the only drive-in theaters still left?
Are you qualifying yourself for the draw?
No, I am not.
You're wrong.
I kind of figured I might be.
You're wrong there, but there's one for your audience.
There you go.
And your audience and my audience right now, folks, what is Wolseley, Saskatchewan famous for? Mm. And I mean famous. I've been there. And I'd love the opportunity one day to go back there and do a radio program from there for a reason. Wolseley, Saskatchewan. There you go.
Wonderful. Okay, well, we'll put that out, and if somebody wants to call or email, let us know. We did have Trent, who is actually sending us a Facebook message. He's got a question for us, but he also, he said, is it the swinging bridge for Wolseley?
Ah, nope, it's not that.
Well,
you can't. What's going to happen if somebody goes come in and says the winning answer? We can't do that. We just have you take them, write them down.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Nice. Yeah, because otherwise, well, if I say you're right, and that everybody's going to know.
Absolutely.
And everybody's going to write in.
Well, we'll definitely we'll make sure that
this is not gambling. This is something to give away my book, A Fair Way.
Perfect. That's a great fair way. So we'll keep those and we'll make sure that we get those answers to you. Trent,
the more the merrier.
That's
folks.
Right.
Come on, you Saskatchewan people. I know you've been up and about, and I know you're out there getting the chores done. But what is Wolseley, Saskatchewan noted for and famous for? And you could win one of my books that is a collector item. It'll be autographed and everything else by myself. And we'll continue on answering questions for Scott.
Once again, okay, so here's Trent. He wanted to ask, he said, they live on an acreage and currently have gravel driveway right up to their three-car garage. They would like to improve that area to reduce dust and tracking into the house and also provide a place for activities for things like basketball, chalk drawings, foursquare, and other fun game type activities. What would be the best ground covering to use? We've considered concrete pavement, packed clay, that gravel / clay combination that packs down concrete, like what would you recommend?
Well, there's a number of things, and each item has got a price tag on it. And what is the best for its the biggest bang for the buck, so to speak, would be a product called Road Base. Now, Road Base is the same product that they use along the side of the road throughout the country, and that's the gravel road base. That will pack just like concrete. And you can dampen it and pack it. You can dampen it and compact it with a tamper. But as far as on the prairies, I would suggest very strongly going with asphalt as a good, better, best, one of the best. The problem with prairies and paving stones, unless you go through the full process of putting paving stones in correctly, meaning that you have to dig down a minimum of 18 inches, and 18 inches, once you've dug down, removed all the soil, any of the clay that might be in the soil, take that out, and then you put in a gravel base, and that would be a crushed gravel, half to three quarter. On top of that, you would put your road base anywhere up to 8 inches of the gravel, half to 1 inch, and then 6 inches of the road base. And then on top of that, you want to put the asphalt. So that particular type of application is really, really what you want to put in to give you not only the drainage that will eventually find its way underneath, and that gravel is going to pick up and take any of the movement as far as frost, and also give you a beautiful surface that you can seal with asphalt seal, and also ergonomics as far as playing on is everybody as good as concrete. What can I say? That's one of the most inexpensive, good, better, best, inexpensive, best way to go about it. But paving stones, unless you've done it before, it's not something that you can just go down and dig 4 to 6 inches, put in a little bit of sand, and then put your paving stones down. That doesn't work.
That's interesting. So, I have seen that, because you see a lot of that sinking. Like, are you talking paving stones kind of like those little
interlocked,
awkward shaped interlocked? Yep.
Yeah, interlock. Yep. Interlock, you know, there's a lot of interlock pavers used today, industrial-wise, commercial-wise, park-wise, which would be a commercial type of application or installation, but they do it correctly. They have to go down that minimum of a foot for that. But if you're going to go down with concrete, you got to go to 18 inches, because otherwise you just end up with cracked concrete. And asphalt, even go down with asphalt, minimum would be 18 inches. You got to get rid of the clay. Otherwise, you're going to be dealing with a lot of movement, and that movement is going to cause puddling areas, and puddling areas are not fun areas, especially when you're in the prairie.
306-783-5160, toll free 1-855-449-5160. You can email Scott at therock985.ca, or like Trent did, you can send us a Facebook message as well. We're going to continue in just a moment with more with Ask Shell, brought to you by Marks and the Select Century 21 Broadway Park Realty Agents, Deb Cook, Michelle Bailey, Deb Schmidt, Kathy Fairyoung, Trina Statician, Tony Hoffman, Jonathan Buchert, and Terry Korchinski. We'll be back with more Ask Shell and your calls right after this.
You're listening to Ask Shell, brought to you by Marks and participating Century 21 agents. You can call Shell now at 306-783-5160 or toll free at 1-855-449-5160.
We're back here on Ask Shell on All You Ever Wanted to Know. It is the Ask Shell live call-in, and we are talking with Shell Buzzy, and once again, it's brought to you by Marks, along with Deb Cook, Michelle Bailey, Deb Schmidt, Kathy Fairyoung, Trina Statician, Tony Hoffman, Jonathan Buchert, and Terry Korchinski. And Shell, we've got another person on the phone with us, Colleen. How are you doing today, Colleen?
Oh, great. Thanks so much.
Now, good stuff, Colleen. Nice to hear from you. I hope you've given Scott your guests, or possibly you know what Wolseley, Saskatchewan is very famous for. But we'll leave that for you and Scott to deal with. Let me take care of your home improvement concern.
Okay. Well, my question to you, we have rug in the basement, and it's got that foam backing. Uh-huh. And I tried pulling up a bit of a section of it, and it's glued down, and it's really hard to remove. Do you have any great tips for me to make that process a little easier.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now tell me, what are you going to put down after you tear it up?
Well, that's another question I was going to ask you.
Okay, all right, because that makes a big...
I don't know.
Yeah, it makes a difference because as to what you're going to put down relevant to what you have to consider doing in order to get rid of the material that's there now, the foam back carpet. The old foam back indoor-outdoor carpet. Boy, the miles and miles and yards of that that's being removed. But the best way to remove it. Now, you may not have in Yorkton a rental service, a rental outlet where you can rent this machine. But I'm sure if they don't have, they will have the manual type of unit that replaces the mechanical type. And what it's called is the carpet removing machine. Very simple. Carpet removing machine. And what it is, it's a machine that somewhat looks like a one of those round disc type of polishing machines, but instead of the round disc, it has a blade. And that blade is about 12 inches wide. It's very sharp, and it oscillates back and forth. And as you're pushing under the carpet, under the pad, up against the surface of the concrete, it's actually shearing the rubber backing as you go.
So
now,
Do you need two people, like one pulling up the rug and the other one doing this?
It actually is not that heavy a machine either. But you don't need any more than just yourself. But it's always nice to have someone there that's going to carry the coffee pot and what have you. But what I was just going to say, what most people will do, and I found the best way, is to take the carpet and a straight edge, and using one of the Olfa type of knives or utility razor knives, and cut the carpet into strips of 12 inches. That way, what you're doing, you're only taking a 12-inch strip off at a time, rather than trying to work across a full width of a room. You're not going to do anything with the carpet anyway. You're going to do away with it. And if you are going to do anything with it, then it's easier to run out use 12-inch runs anyway and staple it down. If you ever put it in a back woodshed or a backyard or even in the hen house, you know, all that sort. But anything of that nature, shearing is the best way. Now, I did say mechanical. There is a manual type that takes this sweat equity, meaning your good old Armstrong. And the Armstrong, then it will actually act as a push shear rather than an oscillating shear. So that's what they've done to improve the removing of carpet with the machine, is the oscillating mechanical machine. And they are very, very popular. So I'm sure you'll find them in a rental outlet, either in Yorkton or close by. But I'm sure that somebody in Yorkton will have one because they're very popular.
So
there you go. And now what are you going to put down on it? Do you want some advice there?
That's
right. Is it in the basement? It obviously sounds like it because it's on concrete.
Yes, it's in the basement.
Okay. Now, putting down flooring today in a basement application, is this going to be a livable space like a rec room or possibly a suite or anything like that?
Yes, it is.
Okay. The reason why I ask this question, you want to make sure that you do put it down on top of something that's going to give you some satisfaction as far as ergonomics and also something that's going to be warm. Because no matter if you put laminate flooring or if you put vinyl flooring or even if you put carpet, there's going to be a chill in the surface unless you do it the best way. And I always like to promote the best way. Might cost a little more, but on the other hand, DIY, do it yourself. You don't pay any labor. And that labor is yourself, and that's what I call sweat equity. So yep. What you do, once you've cleared that carpet off, then you want to lay over top of the concrete, and there's no use of sealing the concrete at this point because you'll never get the concrete to the extent that you can seal it because of the glue and adhesives that's been used in order to put down the rubber backed or the foam backed carpet. So right. Once you've got it sheared off, over top of that, you'll go with a product called Delta MS. Delta MS. And Delta MS, you can Google this on your computer. It is a floor dimpled plastic that you put the dimples down. This is very similar to what I talked to Jack Dawes about the other day, but what I talked to Jack about is a foundation type of material, which the same company manufactures. But it's for flooring. Dimpled plastic goes down first, dimpled to the concrete. Then over top of that, you'll go with a minimum of half-inch plywood. And half-inch plywood, it comes with fasteners that you go down into the concrete. You go through the Delta MS and then into the concrete, and you fasten. It all comes in system. They got CDs, and you can actually, they can send you a link to watch it. And we have, even on our website, actually, Scott, askshell.com, and go to our YouTubes, and it's all listed there. So once you've got the half-inch plywood over top of the Delta MS on top of the concrete, now you can put whatever you want down. You can put carpet down. You can put vinyl wood laminate flooring, or you can put laminate flooring with a laminate face, that's wood grain, or you can even put tiles down. That's all going to be your choices. And, you know, there's all kinds of companies out there today that have got laminate flooring, and people that sell flooring, they have the answers for you as far as wearability for the different types of rooms that you're going to have. And I will tell you, though, that we're doing a major renovation right now at our daughter's house, and we're using the vinyl wood grain flooring, strip flooring. It looks like wood.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's just that easy.
So if you, I mean, when you put this plywood down, then do you need to worry about the seams where your plywood meets?
Not necessarily. If you're using tongue and groove plywood, no.
Oh.
If there's any knots in the face of the plywood, then you can buy this a floor leveling compound that you can fill that. That's already pre-mixed. Very easy to do, and put it on with a 4-inch spackling knife, and overnight it's dry, and away you go. But otherwise, there's no sanding or anything like that.
Okay. I never thought of that. I've never even heard of tongue and groove plywood. I've never seen that.
There you go. You see,
well,
that's what this radio program.
Things.
That's what radio that's program
awesome.
Is all about.
Yeah, okay.
And I like the educational content of radio.
And so, if the floor isn't level,
now
does that
are you
matter?
Talking about the concrete now?
Yes, the concrete. We're going back to that then.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
all right.
So then, I'm just wondering. So then, what do you do?
Well, if the concrete's not level, there is leveling compounds, self leveling compounds that you can mix up and pour out, and it's self leveling.
Okay.
And that's available at your building supply stores. It's quite a common item today. It wasn't, you know, 20 years ago, but certainly today, floor leveling compounds are very common. But that floor would have to be a long ways out of level before such time as I'd even ask a DIY, do-it-yourself person to do it, apply it. If you've got carpet on there now and you're taking it off, you know, you can always get a nice straight edge, like a 2x6, 12 feet long, and put your level on it and take a look and see what it is on the floor. And I can... tell you, if it's anywhere up to a quarter of a bubble on your level, I wouldn't worry about it at all.
Okay. That's
because
perfect.
One of the things, the Delta FL MS, that will take a lot of the imperfections out of the floor as well.
Oh, Okay.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thanks, Colleen.
Thank you very much. Thank
Don't
you
forget
much.
Your guests now on Wolseley. Oh,
that's right.
All righty. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. We've got another caller on the phone right now. We've got Jacob is on the phone right now. Hello, Jacob. How are you?
No, I'm not bad. How are you?
Good. Do you have a question for Shell?
Yeah. My wife and I are trying to do our basement. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm trying to do our basement renovation, and we've got a bathroom that's kind of in an awkward space. In particular, some of the fixtures are in a bad place. But of course, those drain pipes all go into the cement floor. We've been thinking about moving them. Is that a really difficult process?
Well, it's not an easy process, but it's certainly one that can be done. But I'm wondering, have you ever heard of the Uniflush system?
No, I haven't.
Well, if you're putting in, say, a shower, a toilet, and vanity, you can put that into a system that I can. Are you on the internet so I can send you something by email?
Sure.
Okay, because I installed one of these units on my radio TV program back a few years ago. And the Sani Flush system, it's called Sani Flush, S-A-N-I-F-L-U-S-H, Sani Flush. And the Sani Flush has got a toilet that has a tank on the back of the toilet. Nice, neat vinyl product, and complete with shower ability, and also even a small bathtub. And it will go into the agitator, which is in the tank, and it will pump the water sewage out through a 3/4-inch pipe. And you could take that and put it into your drainage wherever you happen to have it.
Oh.
If it's overhead or down the wall a bit further, you don't have to worry about going into the concrete at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll tell you, they're not bad price-wise. They've come down a long ways, but please consider it, because it's the answer. It's the answer for mom and dad suites, for example. We call them mom and pa suites here in Vancouver. That's what we call them, and we always use them. Mm-hmm. And they're a well-built unit. That's not a piece of product that you're going to say, "Oh, let's throw away." It's not. This is a very usable piece of equipment, in the form of a toilet, but will allow your sink from your vanity and a shower and even a laundry tub, for example, to it.
Wow, thanks.
So Sani Flush, you can Google it. Google Sani Flush, you'll get it. And if you leave your email address with Scott, he'll send it to me, and I'll have Morgan, my operations fella here, email you the link that you can watch the installation.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much, Jacob.
Did you get a guess from Jacob there, Scott?
Jacob, do you know what? Do you know what makes?
I don't know.
Okay, there we go. That's right. We'll do it off the air here. Well, if you want to hold on the line, Jacob, we'll grab your information there as well. We just have a couple minutes here left to go, but I mean, you know, it seems a lot of basements are a lot of the questions that are coming up, and I think even too when you're looking at making a change, like you're talking with Jacob, whether it's removing carpet, whether it's figuring out the ways to make the pipes work, there's a lot of things people are looking at for basements, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. Because first of all, it's the time of the year that people are working on their extra footage within the home to develop, and that's normally the basement. And ma and pa suites or grandma and pop suites, that sort of thing, are very common, because there's young families taking over, for an example, projects. Maybe they've taken over the business, whatever. But the point is that when you get into a basement, there are so many developments today that haven't been in the limelight to allow people to know that they're there. And that's what this show is all about, Scott. Yep. Good, better, best. Why worry about the rest? When the good is better, the better is best. And that's why I'll say the how to the what to the where to the why to the when to the who to. So that's what you have with you and I. Everything, if we don't have it and I don't know about it, then I don't know where it would be or if it would even be available.
Yeah. Well, thanks again today. It's always great to chat with you, Shell. And again, thanks so much to our sponsors of this program, Marks, as well as Century 21, Broadway Park Realty Agents, Deb Cook, Michelle Bailey, Deb Schmidt, Kathy Fairyoung, Trina Stachician, Tony Hoffman, Jonathan Buchert, and Terry Korchinski. And of course, thanks again to Shell Buzzy. Always great to talk to you. And we'll keep you in touch and we'll get those answers to you as soon as possible there, Shell, so we can give away that book. So thanks again. Anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. First and third Friday, we have the same thing take place. And thanks for all your promotion of the show. And Jack Dawes, thank you very much for giving me time on your show yesterday. But Yorkton, Saskatchewan, 98.5 The Rock. Hey, we have a great time with you and your do-it-yourself home projects. So until next time, love you all. Bye-bye for now.